Okay. So we're holding here the beginning of Perek Beis about Ha'odam HaZanivar Chaseh Ba'atzmoy. And so it says here that Ha'odam HaZanivar Chaseh Ba'atzmoy V'chol Chisorin Hu Ra V'lefikoch Mishtokek Odom Ola Ra Tomi. So he says the person is Chaseh, every Chisorin is Ra, and that's why the person is Mishtokek always to Ra. Av Mishu B'Shleimus V'ene Chaseh, a person is not a Chaseh, It says that the Ovis were did not have a Yitzhahara, or the Yitzhahara better said Yitzhahara was not Sholot, because it says Bakol Mikol Kol, Kloima, Shekolechot Min Ovis Nechav Kloli, Shemen Yotzik Klalo Mi Yisraelis, Umeacha Shem Ovis Lahem Vikol Kol Echot, Kola Uma, Okay, so he says here in Yesoid that anything that is a chasa is considered ra, and ra shaylit on it, and the ovis, in as much as they had a mid of klal, they were good, and they were not, they weren't exposed to ra. So first, let's stop a second about this. It seems to us as if it's a reversal of what we'd expect. It seems as if we would say a person who is Ra, a person as it's a horror to do X, Y, Z, is not a Shalim. You know, it's because he has the Yitzhahara that he is not a Shalim. If he does Tshuva, gets rid of the Yitzhahara, and so on, then he becomes a Shalim. And that's how we would normally see it. He says the exact opposite, and we would have interpreted the pasuk by Kol Mikol Kol also as describing the situation. Because the others were shleimim, it's appropriate to call them Kol Mikol. He's saying the other way around. He's saying because they were by Kol Mikol Kol, that's why they don't have Yitzhara. So the question begs itself, so how does one get there? I mean, it's almost a catch-22 situation. People who are shalom, the people don't have Yitzharas. Well, very few people are born shleimistik, so, you know, how do you get around that conundrum? I'd like, since we're talking about Ra and Yitzhara and stuff, so Yom Kippur naturally is a zman that's very shayach to it. It says in Chazal that Hasatan is Begematria 364. It means there's one day a year in which he's not Shoilet, and that's in Kippur. So it sounds, I mean, so which one came first? It sounds as we could say that Yom Kippur, since Kala does the Tshuva, Yetzirah, you know, ceases to be, but it's not much like that. It's Mashiach Kadosh Baruch Hu first ordered the years in place, and then he said, well, I've got my calendar is taken up with my Yitzhahara, so I don't have time. I think Yom Kippur is the one day Yitzhahara takes vacation. That's when we'll move in. That's what it sounds like. That parenthetically, it's very fascinating. You know, most things in the Jewish calendar are built on the lunar year. You know, this is it's fascinating that this is built on a solar year. Not every year is 365 days. It's true that in the long cheshbon, it evens out. The 300, you know, since the solar year and the lunar year catches up, there are some lunar years, some Jewish years, longer than 365, some shorter, and in the average, it averages out. But Yom Kippur comes out very evenly, you know, so this year is not going to be a leap year. Next Yom Kippur is going to be less than 365 days away, less than 364 days away, so we're kind of a bit short. That time didn't come yet. That's a parenthetical issue. Obviously, the reason is very simple, because the chelek of Teva and the Bria, Ra, whatever you wish, Esav, goes with the solar year. Maral speaks about the Teferis, about the Shasa Gidin Keneged, the Shasa Losa say that 365 days, the Mahalach Reshemesh is the Mahalach that includes Ra in it, and Teva, Ra, and so on, Chomri, and that belongs there. So parenthetically, that's just why it, you know, why we actually deal with 365 instead of dealing with the lunar year. But be it as it may, it isn't it the other way around? It sounds as if for some odd reason the Yetzirah occupies all days of the year except for one day, and that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's the best day to put in a Yom Kippur. So let's examine the issue and understand the point that Maral is making. Maybe we'll understand that a little bit. On a very abstract level, Tov is the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, at the end of the day, the only definition we have of Tov and Ra is Tov is identified, that which is divine in nature is Tov, that which is not divine in nature is Ra. This is one of the, in my mind, one of the most fundamental, I guess, proofs of an understanding of a God the way we understand it, because the term good and bad does not have a translation to any realm except for God. We can talk about pleasant, unpleasant, that's a physical sensation. We can talk about functionally good and functionally bad. A society where people steal from each other, the economy goes downhill. That's a functional statement, doesn't need God in it. But good and bad, and by that simply means it's not a moral evaluation. It's a person who is a good businessman or a good engineer is not praiseworthy in the moral terms. He's praiseworthy as being good engineer, good businessman. It has nothing to do with good and bad the way we instinctively feel it is. If we use the word good and bad the way every single human being intuits it, it means it relates to some other order, and that's a divine order. Ramesh Shapir said what he wants, that Toiv is Miloshon HaTovas HaNeiris, which means to draw and to continue. Ra is Miloshon Toroyim B'Shet Basel, which means to break into pieces. In other words, that which is Tov is Hemshech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that which is Ra is disjunct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a piece that's broken off. It's a very abstract understanding of it, but it's the only understanding that's true. So if we're to ask ourselves, Tov are the things that are of divine nature, of divine, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this, likes this, and b'meila you mischabit to it. That is the abstract definition of it. Taking it down one notch, let's explain it a little more practically. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the core definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have is that he's not lacking in anything, so the core definition of Tov is that which is in a state of perfection and doesn't lack anything. The Ra is lacking in some place. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shleimus, those things that are Shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Metzias are of the same Shleimus. The more distant something is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less it's Shalem and falls under a category that we will call Ra. Those are basic Hagdaris that are correct Hagdaris. Now, if we, okay, that's like one notch lower. let's go down another a step still lower. Those items, let's talk about Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. Those items that a person has need of, a person needs to eat bread, drink water. So that's chas on a very physical level, and when the person is mashamit, it immediately is perceived as sholeh. And that's that. So yes, we start out, we're chas, every morning we need a glass of water, we need a slice of bread, we have that. Person needs shelter, etc. Those in Yanim that are ruchnias, in a certain sense, they simply are an increased chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that makes us part of the world of Tov. But those areas that we're chaser, as soon as we have what we need, we're there. The koach of Ra is the koach of Taiva, is that the person becomes a chaser, and that becomes his metzias. So, theoretically, if something was usser, then by definition I'm not missing it. And that's that. If I am a Baal Taiva, the Baal Taiva tells me that I'm a chaser, and if I don't have it, I'm not davar shalom. Let's think a second about an interesting phenomena. If a person were to ask me right now, would you rather be sitting in your chair, Silver Spring, or would you rather be laying on on a recliner, I don't know, on a Caribbean island? Not quite sure what the weather's there, not quite sure what's there, but I would instinctively say I'd like to be laying on the chair over there. And at this moment, the pleasure there is greater than what I think is the pleasure here. I may be mistaken, but not a scientific study, but we'll assume it as being a reasonable statement. Let's say I think back about last summer, and someone comes to me and says, you know, I had this great vacation, I don't know, in Hawaii, in Alaska. Right now, both of us are sitting in a chair working. Why do I feel jealous that that person had that vacation? Mainly if he would be now in Hawaii instead of sitting in a chair, you understand it. What's the pshat in the things that the person had, in the pleasures the person had? A person describes to me what a fantastic meal he had a week ago. Well, he right now is eating the same bread and the peanut butter and jelly sandwich I'm eating. We're both sitting eating peanut butter and jelly. He's just describing something a week ago. The answer is, there's a deeper knach in Tivus where I feel I'm missing something. I feel, just like possessions, I feel I'm a chaser if I don't have under my belt the fancy meal in the restaurant, the fancy vacation, whatever it is. So if in down deep, a person builds an extraordinary mansion. So yes, there's somewhat of a fantasy that'll have a lot of pleasures, but in the deepest sense, it's having it that makes it feel, oh, I have a big mansion, I have a this, I have a that. It's the person feels a chaser. And now, since the mohus of Ra is chaser, so the more I fulfill it, the more chas I become. And just so that we don't think we're talking about very, very kind of abstract entities, let's take something that's real. Addiction. Most people, Baruch Hashem, don't need drugs. And we live perfectly decent lives and very happy without it. That's fine. when we are, when we have, when a person takes a drug in, he develops a chisaron that he never had before. He never had this chisaron, the need for X, Y, Z, and now he has it. Once he took it in, he creates that chisaron. And that chisaron keeps making him more and more of a chassid. Because I need more and more fixes, both in terms of the intensity of the fix and the duration and so on, until the person becomes a chassid gomer, until the person is gone. That's the mahalach, that's a real phenomenon. We see it in front of our eyes. Same thing with all addictions. A person becomes addicted to arayas. Lo aleinu, a person has an affair, this and that. A few years ago, a former Talmud of mine was telling me that his brother-in-law, who was a very, very respected member of his community, finally, I don't know if his quarter fessed up. I mean, the person had had, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of liaisons with the lowest of the low. He would roam the streets with his car in the worst areas of the town looking, and he kept actually a book of everyone. It shook the foundation. It was a very respectable person, very fine person, really decent person. But he developed this need, and there was no bottom to where he could satisfy it with. Those are chisron. That's when we become a chaser. It starts from so for the simple things that we actually need. It's like if a person drinks water, nobody overdrinks that. It's whatever you need to fill yourself, and that's the end of it. The body has a very clear sense of how much chassar it is. But when the person makes himself into a chefetz of chassar, that makes the person into ra. So we're talking a lot more than simply a taiva. If you have a strong taiva for chaza, you're gonna have a hard time coping with it when you walk by a store. That's a very minor point. But when the person has needs and increases himself as a chaza beyond what he does need, that becomes a mitzias of ra. That's what Chazal mean, and he brings it later when it says Yesh Adam Mazbio Roev Mar Ivoy Savea. That is ever caught in a person that if a person is masbia it, he's mired himself. Think about it. The person by feeding the ra, he's making it into an entity. The person is saying, yes, it's a need. Instead of saying it's not a need, he's saying it is a need. It's just like the same thing mentally. Anything I say, sweets or things like that, something similar as that, or cigarettes. There's a physical craving, but more than physical craving is the sort of sense of need that you have for it. And if you feed it, you're validating it, both on the level of emotions and on a physical level. There's a folk story, which, in terms of understanding it kipshuto, it's not great, but it does have a certain tremendously powerful metaphor to it. There's a story, and again, these are stories that I heard as a kid, and these are, they're folk legends, but the point behind it actually is very, there's a story about the great Mekubel Rabbi Yosef Dalraino, who tried to bring Mashiach, and he really fasted a lot and did terrible tikkunim, and finally he had a gilui that he could that he could bring Mashiach, but it's going to be very, very, very dangerous. And unless he follows the instructions to the dot, it will consume him. Al-Kapanim, the instructions were that he would go to a certain place, he would capture the Sutton, he would chain him with chains that had Shem Havai on it and who knows what else, and the instructions were strict. He is not to feed or give the Satan anything whatsoever. Whatever the Satan wants, he can't give him anything. And the Hisham of it, and if he doesn't, the Satan will disintegrate, disappear, and that will be the Tikkun Olam, and everything will be Gevaldik. But if he gives him anything, if he listens to his pleas and his cries, he's going to be consumed by it. To make a short, I mean, if you're telling it to a Pirchei group like I heard it, you can get a good 45 minutes out of it. But basically, the bottom line was he captured him, and the poor thing kept screaming and crying. He wants water. Once finally he said, "Before I die, I want one thing. I want a whiff of psamim." And that he couldn't, hold in, and he gave it to him, and that rejuvenated the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah broke free. It consumed him, burnt down his house, and b'chulu b'chulu. That was the story. There's a point there. There's a tremendous point. This is a sort of a graphic demonstration of Masbio Mariva Mariva Masbio. The Satan lives on being fed, and feeding him bits and pieces keeps him going. And the way we're saying now, there's a deeper point to it. It's the sense that it's a need, that it's something that it has a valid claim to exist. I think on Yom Kippur, the Inuyim,
the Chamech. So, Rabbi Lapiansi, it's a quick question. Again, we are also, whether we like it or not, we the Etzem Chassadika beings, right?
Correct.
So, how do you deal with that?
Okay.
How do you deal with that?
Good. So, if the Chassar is, kept to the physical level, let's go back to the example. Yeah, to the example again. Let's say you're Mashgiach and Yeshiva, or let's say you're a father of children, or anybody like that, or a friend, and your friend / Talmud / son looks very run down, and you say, I think you need a break. You should go for 2 days and take it easy, to some whatever it is. That instruction is given with an eye to the real concern of the person. You simply say, okay, this machinery needs to be oiled, needs gas, needs a fine tuning, and that level that the physical body has a need is correct. The body is chaser, and those needs are taken care of. But every person himself, you ever hear a kid whining, everybody gets to do this except for me, everybody goes on trips, now I don't go on trips, it's not fair, and this and that. What the kid is saying is, it's a need, and it has to be fulfilled. My mother-in-law told me once that whenever, they were actually quite poor when the kids were young, they were very poor actually, but they had a rule. If a kid said, could I have a pencil case or whatever it is that, they thought about it. But if a kid came along and said, ani muchacha, this or that, I must have this, then the answer was an immediate no. Because the idea that this is an absolute need, when it wasn't, obviously the person was thirsty and needed a glass of water, or it was hungry, but if he needed a thing, which didn't go into Ger Avrech, that was sort of a chinuch to discriminating between desires and needs. So so those like, but when we talk about ourselves, when I look at myself and I say I need a vacation, what am I saying? I say I'm run down and I need a vacation. Also say, I work so hard, and what do I have for my work, and everybody else has a vacation, and so on. That piece creates an emotional need, and it's hard. Every person himself. That's who we are. We're flesh and blood, and we do have a yetzer and tivra. The chamesh sinuyim on Yom Kippur are there, not only So one way of looking at it is, the suffering makes us contrite and so on and so forth, which is definitely a truth, but it's more than that. We are able to divorce our sense of need. We don't. If you look at the way Chazal describe it in terms of Just like Malachim don't eat or drink, we don't eat or drink. Just like Malachim don't do this, Malachim don't do that. We see it in terms of being like angels. Angels don't need these other things. There's a famous Siddush of Art that a Rebbe once said that if Tanesim were not mandated by Chachamim, there would be still two Tanesim would fast. Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av because who can eat on Tisha B'Av? And Yom Kippur because who wants to eat on Yom Kippur? In other words, Yom Kippur is a day where a person is mis'ala and he doesn't need to do it. So the inuyim here are not sufferings. We don't have five sufferings on Yom Kippur. We have five things that we lift ourselves above, that we no longer need. And you see it. I mean, the Gemara entertains, the Chamisha Inuyim are not things we do to ourselves. We don't stand on nails. The Gemara is having to stand in the sun. We don't get makis. We don't inflict punishments and painful procedures on us. The word inuyim actually, it's funny because in the modern spoken writ, inuy is to torture somebody. Inuyim is our tortures. That's not the right translation of it. The word inui comes from the same root as ani, ayin nun yud, which means lacking, poor, paucity. We have it in the pasuk when Lavan tells Yaakov, im ta'anes benosai, if you will deprive them of their emotional needs, of their family needs. The word ani most appropriately means deprivation, things that a person is deprived of. So an ani is lacking basics and stuff like that. And in Leisanus, I say is depriving them of what's dutifully theirs. And the inuyim on Yom Kippur are all withdrawals from things that are common physical needs. That's what the Chamish Inuyim is. So Yom Kippur is the day, and that's where we get this thing, we stand like Malachim, and we're white like Malachim. There's a certain sense of Shleimus Be'etzem. Since the Makor of Chet is from the sense of from all the things that we think we're chaser. So on Yom Kippur, when we want to be misnatic from it, on Yom Kippur, we want to be less chaser. We want to try to be not chaser. If I were to say it in a different way, being similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it hinges on being a chaser or a sholeh. Now, as regards my shayches to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every person stands between, every nivra stands between two points, between the Bayre and between the Vroy. In other words, me as man, looking towards one side, I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu as where I originate from, and then I see myself clap at the rest of the world as where I am. Coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I am a chaser, because by definition, Metzias and Tov is all a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In as much as I'm a Nivra, it means I'm a step distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and my Hishtoikikus, to be Memala myself, is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like by an Isha, it says, well, Ishech Chukasech, because since she's a Chaser, there's a Chukav to be Mismale. That is when looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When looking towards the world, in where I'm supposed to be Adam and the world around me, to put myself as a chaser in the world. I am lacking things of the world. And again, we're not going on needs, which are physical needs, which we are chaser now. We have a chiyuv of malit. But those are not needs in the sense that we're talking about. We're talking about needs in terms of I need this, I need that, I need the other thing. It's a need of fulfillment emotionally, an emotional sense of there are things I need to be me. Those are the things that define the person as a chasa, where you ought not to be a chasa. In Klapishmaya, the person needs to be a chasa. My Rebbe Chaim Shalevitz used to, he had a very funny way of expressing himself, kind of earthy way. He used to say that people that feel very satiated, he meant in Ruchnius, he says, Hashem despises them, and I don't particularly care for them either. It's a very cute way of saying this. When Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu person feels full, then there's no so lamash. Let's take a primary example. The Ovis, Yaakov Avinu, when he faces towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, "Katointi b'kol hachasadim." I almost have nothing. Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov is kulo achasa. Klapei Esav, he said, yesh li kol. I have everything. There is nothing you can give me. There's nothing you can give me because I'm not missing anything. I always get a kick out of the signs. I'm sure in America there's signs, I'm sure in other places. You know, there's a gift section for the man that has everything, or for the woman has everything, or for the man has everything. And it's almost so it sort of begs the question, well, why are you trying to create something that he obviously didn't need because he has everything? I know the answer. The answer is so that the store could make a few dollars on it. That's pretty legitimate. But it sounds ridiculous. Basically, I'm saying that whatever I'm going to give the person is useless. It's another tchotchke to stand in the closet. There's nothing else you can do with it. Akoponim. So the others are called Yom Kippur is the one day in the year. It's because there is no Satan. Now let's understand this. The Satan himself, because he is, his mahus is chisaron, that means his own mahus cannot be the entire hekif of even his own year. In other words, even if a person, let's make it graphic a second. A person decides, you know what, he's sick and tired of the struggle between Yetzer and Yetzer Tov. He's going to go with the Yetzer Hara all the way. Die, forget it. You know, as long as he's stuck between two worlds, he's an unhappy person. He has the guilty conscience when he indulges, and then he has tremendous taivus when he's not indulging. So what does he need it for? He makes a cheshbon, let's get rid of Yetzer Tov. Okay. So the person is now 24/7 engaging in Yetzer Hara. He'll never be a mole, because the Yetzer Hara's mahus is not, there's no sphere there. His own mahus, his very mahus is need, just like we said about drugs, narcotics. They give you a tremendous jolt and a tremendous sensation. The one thing they don't give you is satiation. Because the mohus of Ra is that a person is not satiated. That is the mohus of Ra. So the Yetzer Hara himself cannot fill in an entire hekif and become a davar shalom. Yetzer Tov, who tells a person yeshli kol, so it's a davar shalom. That's the Metzias. Where if a person is Kulei Toiv and Kulei Dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he is Sameach B'Chelkoi. Then he is what he is, who he is, and that's Kulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and that's wonderful. Ra, because its Mahus is Chisorin, that's what its Mahus is, then no matter how much he engages in, no matter how much he runs after Yetzirah, he's always missing it. There is no Baal Taiva that ever said, you know, I've had enough Taivas, I don't need more Taivas. There's always room for another Taiva, till the person plots us. So the one day a year that the Satan is not Mekatrik is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, we want to set up the... That is the very mahus and the limitation of Ra, because it's a chaser. It's not market everything. And that's a klal gadol, in all of Ra, that it deals well with a part of the picture, but not the whole picture. Without going very, very far afield, things in science like evolution explains certain things extremely well. It does not give you ever the answer of how life came into the world. You'll see this. The narrower the focus, the more they have to say. The broader the focus, the less it becomes understandable, less it becomes believable. In the tchunas and nefesh of a person, that's right. That's what it has not become. The day that that makom chisarin of the ra itself is the makom tikkun. Just like a person, when he realizes, the day a person realizes, I am an endless journey to no place, because there's no end to this, that becomes the point where he makes a U-turn. The day he realizes this road takes me nowhere forever, that's when a person makes a U-turn. When a person is in addictive mode, so long as he's focusing on do I enjoy it or not, he's addicted. But when he starts being able to focus on and what's going to be afterwards, that's when a person begins to have some sort of tikkun, some sort of ability to return. Yom Kippur is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was toifis, the mokon where Ra is chaser, and he gave us that day where we're not chaser. That's the day when we're shleimim. We have no chaserness that day. So that's the way in which we can break away, when we contrast the shleimus that we have when we're not pursuing anything, any taiva, to the chisarin that taiva has be'etzim in it. That's where a person has a shayach to mitakan himself. That's a very core inyan of what Yom Kippur is about. Any questions? Okay. So, ma'asim matoiva.
Ma'asim matoiva. Thanks, Rav Lapiansky.
Good to bench yar, and I guess the next time will be the first Thursday of Cheshvan.
Yes.
I don't remember. I don't know when this was Chodesh. Does anyone know which Chodesh is or which day of the week?
No.
Okay.
But I guess it will be that first Thursday after Rosh Chodesh. Yeah.
Bezus Hashem.
Okay.
Okay. I got to bench out everybody.
Good to bench you. Bye bye.